Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. Glad that y'all are here this morning and welcome. And if you're a guest with us, especially welcome to you just for taking a gamble, taking a chance, and doing something really uncomfortable, and that's walking into a new church and in a new place. And so thank y'all. Have a seat for just 30 seconds just to say good morning. And I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors, Dallas, worship leader, and we're just glad that y'all are here again. And as we continue to start about what's next, right after the resurrection, we start asking that question. Right after Easter, so what happens now? What happens after all of this and the great celebration we have? And Jesus has the answers for all of our questions. Sometimes we get to know those now, and sometimes we have to explore those, and we have to wait, and we're going to meet those challenges head on. And so we're just glad that you're here. And just make yourself at home. If you're joining us online, thank you for doing that and taking time to log in and be a part. And if you have questions, find me or any of us up here that you see afterwards, and we'll be glad to answer those for you. And just here's what I want to do. I just want you to, everybody, just 1, 2, 3, take a deep breath. And just let that out. Just relax and let the Holy Spirit just minister to you today. Whatever's going to happen after lunch is going to happen anyway. And so let's just let the Holy Spirit just fill us and just to be a part of who we are, and let us just follow Him today. Lord God, thank You that we get to be here. Lord, every day, Father, is just a new adventure. But Father, today especially, the day where we gather as Your people, as the body of Christ, Lord, we get together as a family, a community of faith. Lord, where we get to share our lives together. Lord, that's why You call us together. You don't want us to live in isolation. You don't want us to live on our own. You don't want us to live as families even on our own. Father, You want us to be together, so thank You. And You want to be with us. So, Lord, let us open ourselves up to You. Lord, let us just give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise today as we worship You. And it's in the name of Christ. Everyone says, amen. Lord, I know we sing it. At least that's my conviction. We say it's all for Your glory. But Lord, there's just so many times throughout my day, Lord, that I find myself doing it for my glory. Lord, or for someone else's, or just totally forgetting, Lord, that You are leading and guiding me, Lord. And I just do things and don't give You the recognition. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive all of us. Father, but we sing that with hope and with promise that you will be more and more inside of us. Lord, we are as full as we can get with the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, but we need to let You come out. Lord, we need to let You be revealed. We need to let You just empower us, and Lord, and to reflect You more and more. So, Lord, that's our hope. That's our cry. That's our praise. That's our prayer. Lord, let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Y'all have a seat. I know you've got your own prayer requests and things that are going on in your lives. And so I just want to pray again and pray some more. But just to partner with you in prayer and let you just pray alongside of me. And just lift up your prayers for your family, your friends, for just our country, for our community, for our church. And even for our enemies today. Some of us need healing. Some of us need a little more money in the bank just to make ends meet. Some of us just need direction, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Lord, as we do gather, I want You, Father, to just be ever-present. Lord, for us to be aware of Your presence. Lord, I know You're here. We don't wait on You. You wait on us. Lord, I know we really probably do desire more of You in our life, and we want more of You to be discussed and to come out in our families. We want to pray more. Father, all those things are inside of us. But yet we allow ourselves to get in the way. Lord, You've heard me. This is my third time this morning to beg You, Father, to show me how not to get in Your way. Because I'm good at it. Lord, so I know that I'm in good company because I know there are others who are good at it as well. Father, teach us to be a good disciple. Father, teach us to ask the hard questions. Teach us to wrestle with you, just like a child does with their parent. But Father, to hear you when you say the answer. Hear you when you say, this is the answer, my child. And Father, that we accept that, knowing that it is the best answer for us, even when we disagree, even when we don't like it. And Lord, in our lives today, I pray for healing, Lord, where it needs to take place. Father, there's healing that needs to happen spiritually and mentally. Father, there's healing that needs to happen emotionally. But Father, there's also healing that needs to happen in our hospitals for disease and for illness. Father, in our schools for the flu and the stomach bug and the strep throat that's going around, just all the things. Father, there's healing that needs to happen. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that healing would come in the lives of these people. And then, Lord, let us not forget, Lord, that we are called to share ourselves. Father, the life that you live in us and through us, we are called to share ourselves with others, which in turn shares you with others. Lord, that we need to show other people who you are, not just by our actions, Lord, just not by our goodness and our grace and our mercy, but Lord, literally by our words, Lord, give us the power to share that, the scriptures, to share our testimony, our witness. And then finally, Lord, as we give today, Lord, I just want to pray over our finances. Lord, that we would just do what you ask us to do. Lord, that we would give as you call us to give, that you would we would be faithful as you call us to be faithful, and that we would step out. And Lord, and not to build a better building, not just to pay lights. Lord, nothing to do with this physical place, but it's all about using all of this for your glory. Let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, kiddos, you are dismissed for children's worship. And I know Morgan has got a great lesson for you this morning and ready for you to go back there. And so be kind and gentle to her. She's got a crowd today. Yay. So just as we do continue, let me get to my notes here and get to the right spot. Today, I really want you to, I think it's a double meaning sometimes when we ask what's next. And I chose this particular photograph today because as a background for the sermon series is we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're on this path. We're on this track. We're on this journey. And sometimes we don't know what that light is. Amen? And sometimes it is as bad as we think it might be, and we don't know what to do with that. But oftentimes, I would say it's more, not nearly as bad as we think it's going to be, right? How many of y'all say about going to some event or going to some place, or you've said it to your children, or your parents have said it to you, if I can just get there, I'll be okay? Right? How many of you said to your children, okay, after you get there, you'll start having fun, you'll start enjoying it, right? How many of you called your parents liars under your breath after you got there, and it was not nearly as enjoyable as they said it was going to be, and they're off doing something else, right? Now, that's not always the case, but it does happen that way. And sometimes we have to get through it, we have to work through it, we have to go into it, understanding that it might not be exactly the way that we thought it was going to be, but to see where God is leading us in it, right? To see where God is leading us through it. And I am this way. I mean, even good, fun things. Sometimes I'm just tired or it's been a busy day and I just want to go home and I just want to do nothing. Anybody, I got an amen. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just don't want to. I have some of my best friends in life in the room, and sometimes we get ready to go do stuff, and man, I was pumped up when I signed up for it, but then it's 5 o'clock, and we have to be somewhere at 6:30, and I go, I really don't want to go hang out. I'm sorry, Charlie. Right? I mean, and I know they do it to me, too. But God always has something in the end, right? He's got, sometimes it's along the journey even, and it's not about the end result. And so today I want to talk about, to continue this idea of dreams or what's next, and talk about, we started last week about thinking differently, but this week to talk about dreams and visions, what that means for us. And if you want the sermon notes, you can get those by texting right there. And now, here's what I don't want you to get confused with. What sometimes we say dreams, and sometimes we say visions, and we think that's, how many of y'all in your company or in your personal life or whatever it is, you have a mission statement, right? And now, there's a mission statement, and then there's a vision statement, right? There's all these different things, these different ideas in the corporate world. That is not what this is. Okay, this is not God's vision statement for the church, even though there is one of those in Scripture. This is about literally what God wants to show you and what He directions particularly for your life that He gives you in dreams, right, and He gives you in visions. It's not pie in the sky stuff. It might seem like it. It might be weird. It might not be normal, but it really is what God is speaking to you and through the different ways that He speaks to us, and visions and dreams are one of them. So I want to jump in and talk about Joseph today, and we're going to fly through Joseph just to get to some points, but Joseph was a boy when he had a dream, right? When God gave him a dream that was going to show him the purpose for his life, a dream that was going to show him who he was supposed to be. And so he shared that dream, right, with his brothers. And anybody the youngest in the family besides me, right, anybody ever told your brothers or sisters or older cousins or whatever that you were in charge and they didn't like that, like your parents sent you out to tell them something, it's time to come in, they're like, get out of here, right? Or they said that, you know, this would have been me. Mom said, you need to take out the trash, and it was really my job. But Mom said, and Joseph didn't lie like I did as a kid. Well, he probably did, but not in Scripture. Does that make sense? Mom said, or Dad said, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to put you in this closet, right? Or I'm going to do this with you, or I'm going to do whatever. Well, that's what happened to Joseph, right? He had this dream, and it showed God was showing him who he was going to be, and he went and told his brothers. And his brothers are like, nope, that's not going to happen. And so then he gets sold into slavery, right? I'm sure that's what my brother and sister wanted to do with me at some point. And then, but then after he did that, he got wrongly accused of a crime. He got thrown in prison. He spent more time there than he was supposed to spend there. And all these things just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening. And so I'm going to read to you Genesis 36, 7 through 8, right? And this is going to be about who God has called him to be. And this is where he's telling his brothers. And so he says this. He said to them, if I can get it, there we go. Please listen to this dream which I have had, right? He already knows that he's going to have to plead with them, but he says this, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, right? We're talking, I know we don't do this anymore, but big stalks of grain, right? And they push them together and they make a little stack and then they tie them up and there's all these big piles of grain in the field. And he said, and sheaves in the field, and behold, mine stood up, right? It came off the ground. They weren't just laying on the ground like some do or stacking. Go, mine stood up, and he said, behold, mine, your sheaves were gathered around and bowed down to mine. Right? He says, here's what I did, here's who I am, and all of yours bowed down to mine. Now, I don't know about all of you, if you have siblings the way I have siblings. I have an older brother and an older sister, 10 years older than I am, and that didn't always go well, amen? And we had some really good fights, and all of us have scars, marks, and tattoos to prove it. Matter of fact, here's my favorite story about being a sibling, and that's why I like Joseph and his brothers and how this went, is I literally stabbed mine with a fork one time. Amen. And it was good. It stuck. Right? He still has that reminder of me. And so, yeah, I know how this went. And I know how angry they were. But this was more about the family line than anything. And so, and look at this. It says, they said to him, then his brother said to him, are you really going to say, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams than for his words. Here's why this is a big deal, is the youngest in a family of boys got nothing, right? This was about family inheritance. This is about inheriting the property. This is about inheriting the riches. This is about carrying on the family line. And he's saying that it's going to be mine. I'm going to, that's what they thought. This is going to be mine. I'm going to take this from you. They didn't like that. That's not how things are supposed to go. And so Joseph, this was a God that, this is a dream that God gave Joseph. He said, this is who you're going to be. Now look at me and listen to me. Joseph didn't know what that really meant, right? He got the dream. He had the dream. He knew it was from God, and he knew what was going on, and he had in his mind how it was going to be, but that's not how it played out. He had to live through it. He had to live into it. He had to ask questions, and he had to walk. He had to go on a journey. He had to act out in faith. I know about me that sometimes I misinterpret, but we also have to keep moving to ask God the right questions and to keep listening as Joseph is going to do. Because over time, he was unwavering in his faith. He may not have understood what was going on. He may have misinterpreted. He may have had been in situations he didn't like, but he remained faithful. He didn't say that was the wrong dream. He just said, this is not happening the way I thought it was going to. I asked last week, in the week before, how many of you have had your life play out the way you thought it was going to? Raise your hand high and proud. Everybody look around. No hands. Right? It just doesn't. Because God has different ideas for all of us. But now listen. So Joseph, he did rise up to be a ruler. Things played out. We're not going to go through the whole story, but he did rise up. He was granted great favor with Pharaoh. He was a slave, and he got moved up, and he just all sorts of things. But listen, when he finally met his brothers again, and I just skipped 30 years of history in the Bible, and I just skipped lots of story. I just skipped lots of facts. I skipped lots of history. But here's what he said. He got to Genesis 45, verse 3 through 8. He's already interacted with the family. They just didn't know it was him. But now, this is the first time he really speaks to them about what's going on. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. He says, is my father still alive? Can you imagine thinking that you sold your brother into slavery? I thought about this over the years. It would have been fantastic, but it never happened. And just what would have happened to him? And now all of a sudden, here he is, and he's a ruler. He's like a governor, for lack of a better word. He's in charge of all of the things. He's not king, right? He's not the top dog, but he's in charge. And they see him, and they're shocked. And what do they say? He says, but his brothers cannot answer him. They're speechless because they were terrified in his presence. They sold this guy into slavery. They left him for dead, right? But yet, he's in charge, and now he has control over their lives. Yeah, they're scared. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, who you sold to Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God has sent me ahead of you to save lives. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will still be 5 years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvesting. So God sent me ahead of you to ensure for you a remnant on the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, father to Pharaoh, and lord of all of his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. What does this mean? This means you've got to believe that you have a purpose. I say it all the time, the Bible is not a self-help book. This is not the latest and greatest self-help, do for yourself and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just be better. No, this is to know that God has a purpose for you. No matter what happens, no matter how you get there, no matter what happens along the journey and along the way that we follow Jesus, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. And just because you don't know what the purpose is doesn't mean that there's not a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. I don't know if you heard me. My brother is 10 years older and my sister is 9 years older, right? I don't think in the grand scheme of things, 10 years later, I was intentionally planned by my parents. Are y'all getting that? Right? But it doesn't mean that I didn't have a purpose. It doesn't mean that God didn't create me on purpose, right? He created me for a purpose in mind. And it took me a while to get to that purpose. And here's what Joseph is saying. Ecclesiastes says, there is appointed a time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. In the New King James Version, it says, there is a time, it says the same thing, there is an appointed time for everything, but then it says, a time for every purpose under heaven. See, there's a time. There is timing, and sometimes we think we're doing it on our own time, but really, God is just using all of what's going on around us to get us to the place where it's time for us to figure out our purpose. It's time for us to work into our purpose. It's time for us to live out our purpose. And sometimes it takes us, different ones of us, a little bit longer. And you know these people, and you may know the person in your family, or you may know your friend, but sometimes we also need a little kick in the pants. Sometimes we need people to help us along, and for someone to finally say, it's time for you to move on. And I don't mean to leave, I just mean it's time for you to get unstuck. Because Joseph, if I'm looking at Joseph's life, I think he could have been stuck a lot. Oh, my brothers threw me in a hole and they left me there for dead. And then they thought that was going to be too mean and they didn't want me to die and all these things. Well, they thought it would be better if they'd sold me into slavery. Personally, I'd rather be dead. How about y'all? Right. But no. Okay. And so then I got sold into slavery and then I got put in this really nice house and I had a pretty good deal for a slave. And then I got thrown into prison because I got wrongly accused. And oh my gosh. And I mean, just over and over. And then this person that I helped to get out of prison said they would help me and remember me and talk to the boss and get me out. And I stayed there longer than I should have. Oh, it's just poor, pitiful me. He had lots of reasons to be stuck. And you and I, we all have lots of reasons to be stuck. I know this. I can go back and tell you, oh, poor, poor, pitiful me stories all day long, right? And even as a teenager, I bet you still have some poor, poor, pitiful me teenagers stories. But he says, I need to move on, because even though he may not have known what his purpose was, he had a purpose. Everything has a purpose, right? Everything has a purpose. Now, this could be a great ring toss game, right? Could be great. Or we could go put this outside in the front area right there and put some water in it and get another one and put some bird seed in it. Wouldn't those be funny? That'd be a great advertisement for the church, wouldn't it? Plungers out front. I guess it really could be, because we do deal with a lot of, well, I won't get into that. No, see, there was a purpose for this. And even if I don't know what the purpose is, if I ever saw this and really didn't know what it is, the person who invented it created it with a purpose in mind. There's a purpose for this, right? And God doesn't give us, right? He doesn't create us for a purpose without giving us the gifts for that purpose. And I mean that. You may not know what your gifts are right now, but you have them. And y'all know this is a big deal to me. I harp on this all the time. You need to learn your gifts. You may think you know what your gifts are, but I hear it all the time. I took that spiritual gift survey, or I got online and I found one. I did this, and I didn't know I had those gifts. I thought I was good at this. Well, you might be, but they may not be the spiritual gift that God gave you. They may not be exactly what God gave you for the purpose in your life. You might be a good musician. You might be a good speaker. You might be a great teacher. You might be all of so many different things. But maybe just because you like that one, that's not the one God wants to use. So important, because God, even though you're designed with a purpose and he has a purpose in mind, God also doesn't just set you on a course on the train tracks and never pays attention to you anymore. He sees you. He didn't set Joseph on this purpose and then just abandon him. He saw him all of the time as he lived out his life. Because look at what Joseph said in verse 5. He said, "Do not be grieved or angered with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life." Verse 7, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance." Verse 8, "It was not you who sent me here, but God." God saw him through everything that he was going through. This is so important. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this right now. He says, Joseph didn't say, okay, I wrote these down and I don't want to forget these. Joseph didn't say, "God caused you, brothers, to sell me into slavery." He didn't say that. He also didn't say, "After I got here, God caused me to be wrongfully accused of a crime that I didn't commit and get thrown into prison." He didn't say that either. He didn't say, "God caused that person to forget me after he got out of prison." He didn't say, "God caused all of these things to happen to me." He didn't say that God did this to me, right? What actually he gave credit for was, he said this. He said, Joseph gave God credit for, he said, "He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his household and ruler over all of the land of Egypt." God's plan for Joseph was to be a leader, right? He didn't blame God for any of that stuff. He gave God credit for the one thing that happened that Joseph knew was godly. I am really bad about easily finding things to blame God for. Anybody else? Easily to blame God for. But when I ask you to give God credit for what's going on in your life, sometimes it's a little harder. Or to say where God has fulfilled his plan and purpose in your life, then it's a little harder. But Joseph had it. He knew it. He knew. And let me tell you this, no one can stop God's plan for your life except you. No one can stop God's plan for my life except me. Students, teenagers, college students, no one can stop God's plan for your life except you. Not a teacher, not your parents, not your girlfriends or your boyfriends or your friends or your enemies, right? Your adults, your boss, your coworkers, they cannot stop God's plan for your life. Only you can. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God," right? Joseph loved God. He prayed. He witnessed in prison. He helped other people in prison. He interpreted dreams. He did all the things that God had given him, all the tools and resources, and he kept being faithful, and God used all of those things. God didn't throw him in prison, but he used while being in prison. God didn't get him wrongly accused, but God used him being wrongly accused. See, there's things that happen in the world that we have no control over, but if we will be faithful, God can work all of those things for not just our good, but for his, according to his purpose. So here's what you've got to do. Know that God sees you, but then discover your gifts to discern your direction. Here's what I know. God does not give me a purpose without the gift to do it. God does not say to any of us. He didn't say to me at some point in my life, "Matt, I'm calling you to be a pastor, but I'm not going to give you the gift of preaching." Some of you would argue that. I know I'm still working on that, but that's a different sermon, right? I'm calling you to be a pastor of a larger church that's going to have a staff, and there's going to need to be budgets and all of these different things, but I'm not going to give you any gifts of administration, right? He doesn't do those things. He doesn't go on and say that He doesn't say, "Hey, Matt, I'm going to call you to go unclog a toilet, but all I'm going to give you is the gift of prophecy. I can prophesy what's going to happen if I don't have a plunger to unclog a toilet." You talk about dealing with some, okay. Right? He gives us the gifts. You just got to find the gift. You have to ask him. You have to discern it. And sometimes they change over time. I'm telling you, it does change. There's different ages and stages in your life. What did we just read out of Ecclesiastes? There's a time for everything. There's a time. And so sometimes we need different gifts. And so here's what the deal is I think we have to be faithful before we're famous. Right? Joseph, before he was ever ruler over Egypt, before he could ever help anybody, before he was ever a leader, before he was ever any of those things, he practiced that gift. He was a leader. He was a leader in the household of Potiphar. That's where he was sent to begin with. He was a leader in prison over the he witnessed to the guards. He witnessed to the other inmates. He was a leader as a slave. He was a leader, and he was a leader, and he was a leader, and he was a leader. Let me tell you something. Instead of worrying about the position, right, practice your gift, and then God will give you the position. Let me say it again. You need to be practicing the gift that God has given you and quit worrying about the position, and then God will eventually put you in a place where you have influence. He'll put you in that position, right? And, I know this is how it happens, but here's the questions that we ask. So are you telling me, maybe you're asking this question, well, Genesis 39:3, hold on. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, with Joseph, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Even Potiphar, the slave owner, right? The guy who had bought him into slavery, he saw that he was a gifted leader, and he's like, there's something different about him. He wasn't the poor, pitiful me slave. He was the leader slave. He was the leader servant. He was the leader in that house. And so I bet you're asking, here's what people ask all the time. So can I specifically know what my gift is? Yes, you certainly can. Can I know my purpose in life specifically? You mean like a clear direction for my life? Yes, you can. Can I know what God wants me to do and how to live it out? Yes. All of those things are true. And then you're going to ask the last question, when can I know these things? And this is how it works for me. Does it work this way for everybody? It worked this way for Joseph. This is why I can identify with Joseph so well, because this is the way it works for me. When can I know that I have this gift? When can I know what my purpose is? When can I know how to use these things together? Right after you do it. Did I hear a faint amen? How can I know? Well, you just keep practicing. You just keep being who God's called you to be. You keep asking him. You keep doing what you know that God's leading you down the road to do, down the path to follow Jesus, and eventually you're going to know, right? And it's not really fake it till you make it, because you're not faking it. You're being who God's called you to be. And it doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter how that is. Can I know the specific actions and circumstances? Yes, generally right after you do them. But if you're not ever doing anything, if you're not ever acting it out, then you're not ever going to know. And so here's where I want to end today. All God did was give Joseph a dream. He just showed him that he was going to be a leader. That's all he did. And he showed him that other people, even his own brothers, were going to bow down before him. And I know as a little brother, he had the wrong idea about that. He just couldn't wait until his brothers bowed down before him, and he was going to be the big dog, and he was going to love it, and he was going to make them take out the trash. He was going to make them clean up after the dogs. He was going to make them do all the chores and all that kind of stuff, right? But that's not what God had in mind. But it took him, right? It took him nearly 25 years to get to that spot. Sometimes we got to wait. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 39. It says, it will come about after this. You know what the after this was? The after this was locusts, famine, all sorts of terrible thing. I love the word pestilence in the Bible. You can't get any worse than pestilence in my mind. And I mean, just all these terrible things where they thought that nothing was going right. But he said, after all of this, for Joseph, after you were thrown into a hole, after you were sold into slavery, after you were wrongly accused, after you were put in prison, after you had been there longer than you should have been, after you had to work your way up into the house and to become this great ruler, after, I will pour out my spirit on all of mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions, and even on the male and the female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. See, here's the great thing about Scripture and the time that we live in. We're in the after. Amen? Oh, please, somebody be excited about that. We are in the after. The Spirit is poured out on all of us. And we'll talk about it next week. When that word pour, it's not just a little bit. I mean, it's crazy, the amount, the generosity of God. It's everything. And for us, we're living in this Pentecostal era of dreams and visions. We're living in this, when I say Pentecostal, I don't mean denominational, I mean Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out, and it's on us, and it's on you for you to do what God's called you to do. You don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to do all these things. You just have to ask. You just have to be, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Holy Spirit poured out in your life. Whoever. Whoever, all of us. And so Peter concludes in Acts 2:38 by really summing up everything that happened when Joel was talking about what was coming. Peter said, all you got to do is repent. All you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus. All you got to do is be saved. And then your purpose and your direction for life will start happening. It'll start being shown to you. See, it's time to start living out the dreams that God has for you and stop worrying about what's next all the time, because the what's next is what's now. Right now. So let's work it out together. I mean, seriously, I'm trying to figure out where we're going, right? As the body of Christ, as a congregation, as a family of faith. I don't have all the answers. I mean, y'all are just lucky we got to where we are today with this idiot in charge. I'm not kidding. I have no idea what I'm doing. I told y'all Good Friday I was in here setting up for something, and somebody said, hey, preacher, you know what you're doing? I said, not for the last 24 years. Only by my power, God says. Only by my might. Only by the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, Dallas, a musician, he gets to strum a guitar, and he gets to let the Holy Spirit just flow through him. I'm not saying he knows what he's doing or doesn't know what he's doing, but, I mean, he's got some direction, right? Ashley, she teaches children, and she's got curriculum, and she's got direction. When y'all say, hey, where are we going as a church? I'm like, well, right? What should we be doing next? How can my life change? What do I need to be doing? I'm like, I don't have a clue. Let's ask God. See, that's what you need to be doing in your life. And just saying, let's just pray right now. God, what's next? Lord, what's next? We need to know. And I know you're not going to give us all the answers, Lord. And by the way, thank you, God, for not giving me all the answers, or I would be scared to death how it might be playing out, what you're going to require of me, what you're going to ask of me, what's going to be put in front of me, what challenges, what difficulties, what unknowns, the things that I'm going to have to just fully rely upon you to do. Because then I probably wouldn't take the journey. So Lord, thank you that you have the complete picture, and you only give me, I'm only on a need to know basis. And you say, all I need to know is today. Thank you. Let it be so for everyone in this room. Father, give us the passion to look for your dreams. Give us the passion for your vision for our lives, for our families, for our marriage, for our children, for our future, for our education, for our jobs, for our money, for our healing. Lord, give us a passion to follow you, the way of Jesus. And it's in your holy and powerful name we pray today. All the people said, amen.
May the Lord's face shine upon you. May you feel his presence when you walk from here. This week, may you begin to find out what his purpose for you is. May you begin to feel his presence moving in your daily lives. Would you begin to feel his presence moving in the things that you put your hands to? So God, come and move in and through us, Lord Jesus, as we begin to discover our purpose, God, as we begin to understand what it is that you have for us to do with our lives, God, and the way that we impact the people around your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Come and move, and let us find our purpose in you, Jesus. We bless your name. We give you all the glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.